David Copperfield, by Charles Dickens, affectionately inscribed to the Hon. Mr. and Mrs. Richard Watson, of Rockingham, Northamptonshire. Contents, I am born 2. I observe 3. I have a change IV. I fall into disgrace V. I am sent away VI. I enlarge my circle of acquaintance VI. My first half at Salem House VI. My holidays. Especially one happy afternoon X. I have a memorable birthday X. I become neglected, and am provided for XI. I begin life on my own account, and don't like it XI. Liking life on my own account no better, I form a great resolution Z. The sequel of my resolution ZIV. My aunt makes up her mind about me XV. I make another beginning XVI. I am a new boy in more senses than one XVII. Somebody turns up XVIII. A retrospect ZIX. I look about me, and make a discovery XX. Steerforth's home XXI. Little Emily XXII. Some old scenes, and some new people XXIII. I corroborate Mr. Dick, and choose a profession XXIV. My first dissipation XXV. Good and bad angels XXVI. I fall into captivity XXVII. Tommy Traddles XXVIII. Mr. Micawber's gauntlet XXIX. I visit Steerforth at his home, again XXX. A loss XXXI. A greater loss XXXII. The beginning of a long journey XXXIII. Blissful XXXIV. My aunt astonishes me XXXV. Depression XXXVI. Enthusiasm XXXVII. A little cold waters XXV. A dissolution of partnership XXXIX. Wickfield and Heap XL. The Wanderer XLI. Dora's Ants XLII. Mischief XLIII. Another retrospect XLIV. Our housekeeping XLV. Mr. Dick fulfills my aunt's predictions XLVI. Intelligence XLVII. Martha XLVIII. Domestic XLIX. I am involved in Mr. E.L. Mr. Peggotty's dream comes truly. The beginning of a longer journey lie. I assisted an explosion lie. Another retrospect live. Mr. Micawber's transactions LV. Tempest LVI. The new wound, and the old LVII. The emigrants LVIII. Absence LX. Return LX. Agnes LXI. I am shown two interesting penitents LXII. A light shines on my way LXIII. A visitor LXIV. A last retrospect. Preface to 1850 edition, I do not find it easy to get sufficiently far away from this book, in the first sensations of having finished it, to refer to it with the composure which this formal heading would seem to require. My interest in it is so recent and strong, and my mind is so divided between pleasure and regret, pleasure in the achievement of a long design, regret in the separation from many companions, that I am in danger of wearying the reader whom I love, with personal confidences, and private emotions. Besides which, all that I could say of the story, to any purpose, I have endeavored to say in it. It would concern the reader little, perhaps, to know how sorrowfully the pen is laid down at the close of a 2 years' imaginative task, or how an author feels as if he were dismissing some portion of himself into the shadowy world, when a crowd of the creatures of his brain are going from him forever. Yet, I have nothing else to tell, unless, indeed, I were to confess, which might be of less moment still, that no one can ever believe this narrative, in the reading, more than I have believed it in the writing. Instead of looking back, therefore, I will look forward. I cannot close this volume more agreeably to myself than with a hopeful glance towards the time when I shall again put forth my 2 green leaves once a month, and with a faithful remembrance of the genial sun and showers that have fallen on these leaves of David Copperfield and made me happy. London, October, 1850. Preface to the Charles Dickens edition, I remarked in the original preface to this book that I did not find it easy to get sufficiently far away from it, in the first sensations of having finished it, to refer to it with the composure which this formal heading would seem to require. My interest in it was so recent and strong, and my mind was so divided between pleasure and regret, pleasure in the achievement of a long design, regret in the separation from many companions, that I was in danger of wearying the reader with personal confidences and private emotions. Besides which, all that I could have said of the story to any purpose, I had endeavored to say in it. It would concern the reader little, perhaps, to know how sorrowfully the pen is laid down at the close of a 2 years' imaginative task, or how an author feels as if he were dismissing some portion of himself into the shadowy world, when a crowd of the creatures of his brain are going from him forever. Yet, I had nothing else to tell, unless, indeed, I were to confess, which might be of less moment still, that no one can ever believe this narrative, in the reading, more than I believed it in the writing. So true are these avowals at the present day, that I can now only take the reader into one confidence more. Of all my books, I like this the best. It will be easily believed that I am a fond parent to every child of my fancy, and that no one can ever love that family as dearly as I love them. But, like many fond parents, I have in my heart of hearts a favorite child, and his name is David Copperfield. 1869. The Personal History and Experience of David Copperfield the Younger. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.